This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Warwick Long on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Welcome to the program. Age is a big part of the discussion today. And Rochelle Hunt, I really want to know, what were you like as a 16-year-old?
Can I tell you, Warwick Long, your mum and dad would not have let you hang out with me. I bumped into an old friend of mine a few months ago, and I was with a current friend, and she said, you know what, when I was 16, my mum banned me from hanging out with Rish. And it wasn't that I was super naughty. I was just, you know, I was outspoken. My mum was quite edgy. And to the outsider, we looked like a bit of a crazy family, but, you know, maybe we were. And that's what I loved about it.
I was about to say, I like the quote, to the outsider. But for you, it was normal.
It was. I'm not sure whether or not I would have voted when I was 16, because this is what we're discussing today. Should the age that you can vote be lowered to 16 or to 17? We know that the Greens have put this forward and they're trying to make an amendment to local government. And if that is passed this month, then if you are at the age of 16 or under, you will be able to vote in local council elections. So is this something that we should see? And I think this gets discussed a lot, year after year.
I'd love, though, for people to take that time and do what I just did to you, Rochelle. Think about themselves at 16. Think about, were you in a position where you felt you could make a judgment between candidates and place a vote in their stead? And the interesting thing about it, isn't it, there's so many debates and arguments for or against. The original argument for lowering the voting age from 21 to 18 was because we were sending people to war and they literally didn't have the right to vote about that. Well, we're making people pay taxes when you have a job now and you're under 18. Do you have the right then to place a vote about those decisions government's making in your honour?
Well, that's right. Depending on where you live and what state you're in, you may be able to drive a car without somebody sitting next to you. You may be working full-time and have already left school and are paying taxes or working part-time. You may have had a child and starting a family, and in some cases you're actually even allowed to marry at the age of 16. So there's a lot of arguments as to why potentially this should be something on the cards again. But Warwick, I do feel like, and I'm also interested to hear from listeners on this, we hear time and time again at the moment that young people are more politically driven than ever before. But is that the case? You know, if we've had wars before, we've had world wars before, we've had protests, global protests before. So do you think that young people are more political now than in previous generations?
I'm not sure about that. I feel like young people have always been political, or a certain type of young person, really, I suppose. I was a political nerd when I was a kid, Rochelle. I would have been quite happy to have a vote at 16. I in fact, have memories of making mum and dad collect the how-to-vote cards, even though they didn't want to. I would make them collect them and bring them to me after they'd voted so I could read through and see the deals that were done between different political parties.
I had a future in journalism,
didn't I? Yeah, it was amazing to look at. And I was so excited at 18. There was an election not long after I turned 18. It was the 2002 Victorian state election. And we came back from our little schoolies trip. Well, we didn't go to an official schoolies. We just went away. But we came back so I could vote at my high school, and I was so excited to have that right. So I was a little bit different to you at that age, Rochelle.
That is so adorable. I love everything about that. Plenty of texts already coming in, Warwick. Yes, let's have a play school political party as well, and then we can get the four-year-olds to vote, says Jay. And this voting age should be dropped to 15, and over 50s should be banned from voting. And absolutely not. You might have the odd example of a youth that knows what's going on in the whole scatterbrain ruling party. That's from Brian in Venus Bay. But Warwick, I actually went out this morning and spoke to a range of people about what they thought. And you know what's interesting is I had more than one person get quite upset at me and say, absolutely not, and kind of look at me in disgust and storm off. So that was something that I was not predicting at all. I mean, that happens to me generally, just in day to day. But then lots of people wanting to chat about it and feeling, well, a little bit on the fence as well. So this is what people had to say when I hit the streets this morning and asked them whether or not we should change the voting age to 16.
I think it probably should still be 18. I think there still needs to be a level of maturity get your license when you're 18, so I think you keep it consistent.
What about the fact that if you're working at 16 and you're paying taxes, in some states you actually can drive a car?
I work in local government and work with elections, so I still think that level of maturity is just needed. And do you take your point, though.
And do you think that 16-year-olds or younger people now are more politically driven when you look at climate change, when you look at cost of housing? Is there not a group of people there that maybe you could actually target?
Yes, I do think that people are more aware of what's happening in the world. They're more switched on with social media, and just generally young people are very passionate about the environment, and they have, I guess, a greater knowledge base than sort of, you know, 20 years ago with things.
But still shouldn't have the right to vote?
No, I'll stick with the 18.
I think it should be lowered to 16. Kids can go out and get jobs, pay tax, get things like their learner's permit as well. They're in that position. I think it would be great for kids to have that responsibility of thinking about, you know, their future and what we need to have for our government, and bring a fresh set of ideas about some of the problems we have in our economy and country and the world, really.
It will not be compulsory, but what do you reckon the uptake would be?
I'm not sure. I work in a school in a low socioeconomic area, but it would be something that we would be promoting in our curriculum, that, you know, they have this opportunity to, you know, have their opinion known about certain issues in our society. So students are concerned, you know. I feel their angst about things like global warming and the inertia of politicians to do something about it.
Do you think it would change anything? Do you think that politicians would take 16-year-olds' votes seriously?
Oh, I think if enough of them signed up to do it, I think absolutely. It could make a great big difference.
Probably not. I think they're still, you know, they're still young kids, haven't experienced life enough to make an informed decision. That's my opinion.
I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah. Do you think at 16 you would have been able to have made a good decision on a vote?
No. I'd be too influenced by other people's opinions rather than to come to a decision myself.
No. Stay at 18, I think. Just in line with everything else you're allowed to do at 18, it's probably a good way to be.
What about the idea that if you work, you pay taxes at 16, or in some states you can drive a car?
No, still 18, I think. Yeah, just some things should be left alone.
Warwick, so many texts. I'm going to just try and get through a couple of them. I was working at 13, pretending to be 14. Therefore, by the time I was considered an adult at 21, I'd seen quite a bit of life. Today, kids are at school a lot longer, so they really don't have that life experience. They haven't seen enough life, so we shouldn't lower the voting age. That's from Lee in Point Lonsdale.
I like this one from Louise too. Just I love how people hold on to things like this. It says, I was 16 during the Whitlam dismissal. I was very aware of what was happening and would have voted back then if I had been allowed. P.S. Obviously, I've never gotten over it, says Louise, which is so lovely. Thank you very much for your text. Jonathan's called from Bentley though. Jonathan, what do you think? Should we lower the voting age?
I don't believe so. From what I've heard, it's not a compulsory push.
No, it's not.
Just for local council, yeah?
Yes, yes, that's the amendment that's been proposed. But I suppose more generally, you don't like the idea of it being lowered?
Look, I don't, and I don't say this with any sort of political leaning, but one can't help but think that the vote to the left has diminished quite substantially, and as the previous lady said, you know, within schools and the curriculum, there's certainly a leftward slant within the curriculum now. And
is that fear or is that reality? Is that something you've heard sort of as somebody's concerns, or do you think that's actually the case?
I do have a master's of teaching, and not that I've ever used it, but certainly the curriculum is a lot more left than it was when I was at school. And I think a lot of teachers of the left persuasion.
Is that because you think science has become a left-right issue, and given a lot of teaching's based on science and fact, or another reason there?
I'm not one to blindly accept what some bureaucrats in Canberra tell me. And sure, they are scientists, but, you know, they are also, let's just say that the whole climate change thing is perhaps not being propagated by the most unbiased of sources. These people are paid a very handsome salary, and I don't believe that people go into, is it a Bachelor of Science in Climate Change and progress to working in that industry if they don't believe it. Thus, you're going to have the 97-98%. Yep. And I think it's almost, not cool, but just the thing that you do within education is to push the climate change thing. I'm not a denier. I'm not a skeptic. But I do think that's something. And I think a lot of kids, I don't like to use the word brainwashed, but it is certainly pushed upon them. I mean, if you look back to that school strike from last year.
Well, that's a part of it. And Jonathan, you've had a really good go. So I'm going to say goodbye, because climate change is a big part of the reason why we know the science behind it too. And it's a part of the reason why a lot of young people are coming forward and say they want the voting age reduced. But not all young people are saying that. And climate change is not the only reason why young people potentially want the right to vote as well. We're looking at the cost of education. We're looking at the cost of housing. There are so many issues, both from an environmental perspective as well as an economic perspective, as to why young people are throwing their hand up and saying they want their vote to matter. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to agree. And that's not what we're saying today either. We're on no side. We're simply throwing it out for a conversation. And a response from Lynn to Jonathan, who just called in, doesn't accept science from the experts, but will take his science from politicians, and yet he has the right to vote. And this, a typical voter at the age of 16, will start university or an apprenticeship, got their first job, pay tax, made a huge life decision over those 3 years. That's why they deserve the right to vote. That's from Ian in Torquay. You're on the Conversation Hour with Warwick Long and Rochelle Hunt. And Warwick, joining us now in our Melbourne studios is Catherine Ellis. She's the CEO of Youth Affairs Council Victoria, which is the peak and leading body and policy advocate for young people from the youth sector. With her is Andrew Leap, who's a 16-year-old student and the school captain of South Oakley College.
We have Francesca Howe, who's a Year 11 student at Ballarat Grammar and a new member of the Vic SRC, the Student Advisory Executive Committee, and Wyan Mo, or Mo, a Year 12 student from Cheltenham Secondary College, also a Student Executive Advisory Committee member. Very interesting. I want to know more about this. He's also talking about a lot of the ideas around voting age today. So that's our panel for today. We'd love you to be involved as well.
You've all been sitting here listening to this. Catherine, I'll start with you. You've worked with young people for a long time. It's what you live and breathe. This is not the first time we've had the conversation as a society of should we lower the voting age, but is it more prominent now than ever?
I think it's more important now than ever before, and more relevant in ways that never has been before. So firstly, thank you for having this conversation today. It's a really, really great one to have, because what's happening now is decisions being made by local governments and other governments that are binding on young people for their entire futures. And so young people really want to be able to have a say in that and be part of that democratic process. At the same time, there's technology, the internet and other kinds of technology that are making sure that young people are far more informed than they ever have been before. And so to say that they're not mature enough, they're not informed enough, actually doesn't fly these days.
We've had a few texts along those lines saying there's actually more availability to information and knowledge now. How much of that is true and how much of that is backed by experts, who knows? But the access is huge now versus, say, when I was 16. Does that play a really big role?
It does, absolutely. Because young people are using that technology to get informed. They're also using it to mobilise. One of your texts talked about young people being more politicised than before. In actual fact, I think they are, but not in the traditional sense. So young people are actually mobilising around issues now, around climate change, around marriage equality, around Indigenous rights, around human rights generally. And so bringing that their voices on those issues into the political sphere, but not necessarily through political parties. And they're informed and they know what they think should be happening. And we need to be taking them seriously as members of our society who can be part of the democratic process.
There's a text here, though. Catherine Ellis, who's speaking at the moment, the CEO of Youth Affairs Council Victoria, saying, well, not many 16-year-old kids would be paying rates, would they? So why would they have a say in local government? Should it be area-specific where you look at lowering the voting age? And is councils the right place to start that?
Last time I looked, you didn't have to be paying rates to vote for anybody. And I think that, you know, you're looking at how young people are part of our local government society. They use the facilities, they use the youth services, the libraries, the recreational facilities, sports facilities. And you know, the issues that local government addresses are actually very important to their lives. And, you know, I work with young people every single day, and I have for nearly 20 years now. And I see that as a privilege because far more than most people, I get to see how young people are operating in our society and the issues they're interested in and the actions they're taking. And they're so impressive, far more impressive than I think a lot of people who don't have daily access to young people realise.
Andrew Leap, you're 16. You're the school captain, so congratulations, of South Oakley College. Let me ask you this. So we're looking at an ageing population. We know that for a fact. Yep. Do you feel like as a young person that political priorities are actually in favour of older generations and trying to get the older generation's vote?
I think the issues, especially at a local level, aren't really just geared towards old people or the elderly. You see a lot of services on the local level that affect everybody, whether that you're young or you're old. I use the library quite a bit at my local council, and having access to that is quite important because the resources that you get there, some people might not be able to access. And I just don't think it's just oriented towards the elderly. Yeah.
And what about voting at the age of 16? Is this something that you're for or against?
I believe that we should definitely be giving the opportunity to young people 16 to 18 to vote in local council elections. Having the opportunity to represent and have a say in who governs our local governments. We want to try and be a democracy, and involving 16 to 18 year olds allows us to get a better representation of what the community wants.
Francesca, how do you sit on this issue? Do you want to vote before you turn 18?
Yeah, I think we should be able to vote because I think although not all students are informed enough to vote, I think there is a vast amount that are, and that we need to start trying to inform students more, and by cutting them off and not allowing them to vote, we're disempowering young people, I think.
And should we be taught how to vote? If this is something, let's say hypothetically it goes ahead, within the school curriculum, should you really be taught about the voting process? Mo, I'll put that to you.
So currently there is a discrepancy within the Victorian curriculum system whereby there's not enough resources that is taught to students the basics of knowing how to vote, how votes are counted, just to democratic processes and the judiciary system. And I think it's a lack of information and curriculum and in the curriculum where students, especially teenagers, are year 10s, 11s, they're not informed enough to make a proper decision and would be mostly biased. And if this bill or if this was to go through and if 16 to 17 year olds were to or allowed to go and vote at the federal level, they would most probably follow political agendas of their families.
But which, doesn't that happen already?
That does happen. Which
but no
is,
matter what your age?
Which is an issue that that is a whole new issue that would have to be discussed. But it's interesting. It's an interesting perspective simply because we're right now at a transitionary period where we're moving from the previous generation to the next. Rising leaders, leaders such as Francesca and me, Andrew, that are, you know, at the forefront of what student voice and agenda is, it's a growing issue that we would like to tackle.
Yeah, so when you look around your school, Mo, do you see people that wouldn't be interested in voting, would be interested in voting? What's that sort of split like when you look around, say, the schoolyard or the classroom?
It's a very interesting split because mainly, and this is a general general thought, just an overview, that most 16-year-olds are pretty apathetic to be faced with the responsibility of voting and you know, handed a responsibility. The fact that 16 to 17 year olds are not allowed to drive without supervision on the roads does raise a flag.
I wonder how much of that depends on what your life circumstance is like at 16. So maybe then it becomes almost a socioeconomic conversation as well. So, you know, you might be at school, living at home, maybe you have no worries whatsoever about where your next meal is coming from. You're probably looking down the line of a university degree versus maybe somebody that has been forced to leave school to help provide for their family and is doing everything they can to try and contribute to not only their family but to the community. There's sort of two different 16-year-old lives right there, and so giving someone the choice, maybe that apathy would be different.
So the it's interesting, especially because this is a whole new topic to talk about. It's interesting that you put it that way, because some 16-year-olds, especially in rural Victoria and in rural Australia as a general, it would be pretty hard for them to get to polling stations without the help of parents or, you know, in the community. And so they might be influenced by people around them to talk about and, you know, ultimately vote for what they're for their beliefs. And it could be influenced by other individuals, which is an interesting topic to talk about and is a concern for us young people.
You're listening to The Conversation Hour. We're talking about the idea of lowering the voting age to 16. Millie, welcome to The Conversation Hour. Do you think 16-year-olds are in a position to vote?
Mary, I do not think 16 is a good age to vote. Certainly, 16-year-olds learn a lot more about politics than when we went to school. I'm in my 80s. However, I do not think they are experienced enough in handling day-to-day affairs, dealing with certain circumstances, and they need far more experience. And what has made me ring today was the comment from the alternate side of when we cease to vote, the person you quoted, not anyone who spoke on the program, who said they should be disallowed to vote at 50. Do we suddenly become useless?
I think what the point was, and I don't think they were meaning that seriously, Millie, but I think the point was, and I'm generalising here, is that there is a big disconnect between younger people and older people now in terms of what younger people are potentially inheriting or what they think they're inheriting, both from an economic point of view and an environmental point of view. And do you feel like that, you know, maybe there's young people blaming older people and older people thinking that young people don't quite understand? Is that disconnect happening, do you believe?
I think there is quite a disconnection in certain aspects, that to many, older people do not matter quite so much. They're more concerned with the younger people. And business, etc., is often more concerned with where the money is coming from now and where it will come from in the future. But don't forget, a lot of the things that are going and working well and have been working well for a long time have been preceded by those older people, yeah, whom we are going to consider at 50 as not worthwhile chasing their vote.
Millie, it's so lovely to hear from you as well. Jane's in Burwood. Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I love the idea of young people voting. I've got two kids, a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. We have political discussions at home all the time, and when we think about who we're going to vote for, I actually ask my kids, well, what are the politicians going to do for us as a family? What are they going to do for our community? What are they going to do for our country? And what's going to be their impact globally as well? So we don't just assess them on one criteria. We have some really great, robust discussions at home, and I feel really confident that both of my children could make really good decisions if they were actually given the opportunity to vote.
And Jane, do you think they're going to change substantially in their feelings and the kind of person they are now compared to when they're 18 or even 21, 25 as they go through life? And does that matter to you if they do change their political leanings or their ideas about the world throughout that time?
I think that everyone should be changing their political views on a regular basis. I call myself a swing voter, and I think it's really important that we question and we change all the time. I'd be really happy if they changed their views on a regular basis.
Jane, thank you so much for your call. And Steve's waiting there. Hi, Steve.
G'day, everybody. How are we? Good, I hope.
Yeah, we're very well. It sounds like you're having an awesome day. Steve, what do you think?
Okay. Well, I think it's fantastic that we believe our 16-year-olds are mature enough, educated enough, and strong-minded enough to help form the direction of the Australian government. So if that's the case, are we going to drop the marriage age to 16 for these mature people?
And how are those two related, do you think? What does it matter if someone's married or not?
No. It's whether the people on the panel believe that the 16-year-olds are mature enough, have enough life experience, and can think clearly on big issues to marry. Because if they say no, then they're saying no to the maturity they're pontificating about the 16-year-old.
Can I just throw something at you, Steve? How many of us have, well, you threw a couple at me, so I'm going to throw a couple back at you, that how many of us have either seen friends, family, or ourselves have been through divorce, maybe not once, but maybe twice, and because we've made a decision to marry at a particular time doesn't necessarily mean that we made the right decision, but we still had the ability to make that decision if we wanted to.
That's a very good question you posed, but I would say that you didn't make those decisions at 16.
And some people have made decisions to have children at 16, though.
Well, are they mature enough? Otherwise, you wouldn't be mentioning it, would you?
Well, yeah. I don't know the answers to this, Steve, either, and I know a lot of 30-year-olds that aren't mature enough to have kids. So
just ask the panel, including the school children that are there, are they prepared for marriage?
Well, let's ask them. Are you prepared for marriage age 16, and is that important?
Well, I personally think that these two things aren't related. But to answer your question, if I found the right person and I was settled, then I believe that I would be prepared for that. But obviously, that requires so many different things and so much time. But then again, I just don't think these two things correlate with each other.
Do you think that the idea of, I guess, that John's trying to make is that it's based on maturity? So is that the point that he's trying to make? Do you agree with that?
I can understand where he's coming from in terms of maturity, because once you, I guess, define that certain level of maturity, you'll be able to understand the issues that affect you and what sort of principles you want to align yourself with, especially with political parties. But I think with this legislation, allowing 16 to 17-year-olds to voluntarily opt in to vote in local council elections allows those politically engaged students to have a say in their community and to make a difference.
On the text 0437 774 774, there's one saying, could it be voluntary for 16, 17-year-olds and then compulsory once you turn 18? What do you think about that idea, Francesca?
Yeah, I completely agree with that idea. For example, in Scotland, when they had the independence referendum in 2014, it was optional for 16 to 17-year-olds to vote, and that produced positive results. And the students and teenagers who didn't feel informed enough to make a good decision went out and researched so they were prepared and informed to vote on that day. So I think if we did that here, people who weren't as informed would take that stand and become more informed.
That's actually, I think, what's being proposed at the moment, is that it would be optional and then become compulsory at 18. Mo, what do you think?
It's interesting, not to be a naysayer, but what's to say that if we do lower the voting age down to 16, and we have these politically inclined students and, you know, teenagers that are voting, what's to say that the politicians would actually listen to us and would change their policies to match and, you know, to think like teenagers who are politically inclined, especially active in when it comes to climate change, because of education, because of housing, and all of those topics that would be talked about. It's sort of a catch-22 when you look at it both sides.
Would you just be another part of the political class then, though, Mo, in terms of, I can't imagine they'd all change their policies just to suit a two-year age gap of people, but you're just, again, part of that much wider mix. How much focus do you think you'd actually get?
I would say that it would be a significant, it won't be a significant amount of people, policies that would be changed in order to match up our ideologies together. But then again, we're talking about two different generations that are potentially in power. One of Gen Zs that are us, and the Gen Ys that are in power currently. So there may be a power divide, but it's too soon to say currently.
Catherine Ellis is also with you. She's the CEO of the Youth Affairs Council of Victoria, the peak body and leading policy advocate for young people in the youth sector. And we've heard a lot about the ideas there, Catherine, about people getting the right to vote as a younger age, older people worried about some commentary saying they should lose their right to vote once you hit a certain age. I suppose, where does this sit? What's functional and what's actually possible, I suppose, in the modern political climate as we look at this debate?
It's certainly been an interesting discussion. And I have to say, I have some sympathy with Millie. I'm over 50 and I certainly don't want to lose my vote, and I have no intention of allowing that to happen.
Can I just say, yeah. I don't think it was ever, like, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
On the cards.
It was a joke.
Because I'd be staring down the barrel of not being able to vote fairly soon as well.
And I do think you can sort of look at how informed are older voters versus younger voters. And it's, you know, with technology, things have changed. So, and I know when I was 16, I had no thought of political involvement or voting, but if it had been an option for me, I think I would have stepped up and I would have taken that responsibility seriously and I would have made sure that I was informed. And we're hearing, you know, from young people now, and Mo and Francesca were talking about it a moment ago, where there's a real desire to have more civics education and voting education in the school curriculum so that young people feel they can come into the world in a more informed way.
How tricky does that get for a school, though, so that then schools don't seem to be biased, that they don't fall one way or the other? I mean, this is something, I mean, the amount of pressure we put on teachers and the education system at the moment in terms of just life skills, mm-hmm. You throw voting into the mix there. How do you know that maybe you don't have a teacher that's persuading your child or your friend or your brother or sister in one way or the other? And how do you stay impartial?
Well, I think there are really great materials that have been put out by the Victorian Electoral Commission that can help with that, teaching that part of the curriculum. And, I mean, like anything, any teacher can persuade young people in their care one way or another, whatever they're teaching, whether it's maths or science or English or anything. So I don't think that necessarily is going to create a biased atmosphere. And the importance of the civics education is actually teaching about how the system works. And, you know, we do a lot of history that's about European history and things like that, but are we doing enough about how our system works here in Australia and equipping young people? And if they are...
So is that literally... sorry to cut you off,
yeah,
Catherine.
Sure.
Is that literally, this is the voting ballot, this is how you would be able to fill it out, number it from one to whatever number of people. This is, say, an upper house ballot. You've got to pick the party you like, or you can go below the line, et cetera, et cetera. Is it that base detail, or is it more than that?
That's a very small part of it. I mean, civics education is a lot more about what is your place in society as a citizen? What are the responsibilities of the different levels of government? So, you know, what does local government look after? What does state government look after? What does federal government look after? And then how would you engage in that process, partly voting, but also about influencing policy? And your 16, 17-year-olds would only form about 3% of the voting population if they were allowed to vote. So it's not
going
to overrun
anything. Are you one headline
away
from being called brainwashing kids and leaning them a certain way politically, though? Is that the problem? And is that why there isn't the will to do more of that in schools?
I think going down that road actually is disrespectful to teachers and their ability to remain impartial as they're teaching young people about how the world works. And I have a lot more trust in teachers and the education system than that. So I don't think that there's any need to be worried about it becoming a biased political kind of engagement. It's much more about teaching young people how the system works and letting them participate in that process so that when policies are being decided, they're not necessarily going to change completely, but they'll be looked at through the lens of what does it mean for young people.
Earlier when John rang in, and I love a really good, robust discussion, is that, but what I did find interesting is that straight away he thought that this was about climate change. Young people having the right to vote, being 16 or 17, is it just about climate change? What else comes into your decision making? What other factors in life are you passionate about besides climate change? Or is this purely a climate change based discussion?
I think that also, along with climate change, there's issues like gender fluidity and equality that is a big issue that lots of young people are advocating for, because it's something that affects them personally. And if that is affecting you, you're going to want to work hard, which is why climate change is so important. But I think it's also things like the whole idea of fake news and trying to cut that out so it's more just like simple, I guess.
It's interesting because the media, the mainstream media currently just talks about climate change and how us young people are very politically inclined. And, you know, they put up a facade that that's all we talk about, but there's so much more than that. Financial literacy, that is a very, it's a big topic that us young people, most of us, do not have a proper understanding or grasp of. And I think that it's a big issue that we can tackle once we get over this hurdle.
And so is that frustrating that as soon as we talk politics and young people, a lot of society automatically presumes we're talking about climate change?
It is pretty frustrating to a point. And especially because that's how conversations start. And to steer away from that notion is a pretty frustrating part of discussions.
I think to add on to that as well, as young people, climate change is not the only issue that we care about. Once we do finish high school and we do start begin our own life, there's so many other issues there that we have to look at. Jobs, how are we going to be able to get a job in the job market at the moment? I'm sure that we can all agree it's quite competitive to be able to get a job out there. Housing affordability, are we going to be able to afford a house? But even just looking at this legislation specifically for local council elections, young people use their services every day, from local roads to the library to the parks to the local community centre. They're the kind of things that we should be looking at, because that's what this legislation is addressing.
Chris is in Pakenham. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you going?
Good. What did you want to say?
I'm pretty impressed with what I'm hearing from the young people. At the age of 16, 17, I was engaged through a mentor into an advisory board for projects, training projects for youth in Newcastle and the Hunter Valley. And I was on the advisory committee for that, and I wasn't 18, you know. But that set up a lifetime of engagement. And I think that's the word that's missing here, that youth want to be engaged and want avenues for engagement in society and have influence. And that's kind of how I started off doing that in the early 80s. And I've always kind of carried that through with me all my life, being on committees and boards and engaged and being active as I'm kind of doing now.
So do you think that young people are now more politically driven and more politically aware, or has that always been the case? It's just that we can tell each other our views easy now.
I think we've always underestimated the youth of in society and what they're capable of doing. We underestimate people generally. You know, I think we underestimate people over 50, which I am now. And I can't get the job that I want because people label me as being too old for this or too old for that. And it's the same problem when I was young. I think across the board we underestimate the value of people in society, and we need to engage more, not less, and don't fob people off as being too political or whatever just because you don't agree with them. You label them, pin a label on them, and ignore them. We need to engage more, and avenues like voting and mentorship through other issues, like public service issues and advising political leaders on what is actually needed in society is what we need more of.
Good on Chris. You. Thanks, Chris. Diane's in Brunswick. Hi, Diane.
Oh, hi. Well, I'm sure a lot of 16 to 18-year-olds are fully capable of voting. I do believe there are a lot of young people out there who are not interested in politics, and I think they would find themselves pressurised by interest groups, political parties, people in their local area, businesses, and fed a whole lot of information that could confuse them. I mean, there's a lot of adults who do vote that are really not capable of making a decision. I think it's great that this age group's being so active and taking an interest in our society. And in that age group, I think they should be consolidating their positions and their views amongst themselves. I mean, it's a whole lot of things.
There's a lot to think about. Absolutely, Diane.
Yeah, it's not just climate change.
No, as we've heard from our young guests here, it's certainly more than climate change. Thank you, Diane.
Let's head to Warragul, where Bill is. Bill, welcome to the Conversation Hour. What's your argument as to whether or not young people should have the right to vote?
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I've got 2 points to make. If the politicians don't think people are mature enough to be voting at the age of 16, then they shouldn't be taking their taxes off them when they're working until they're 18. Because it's our taxes which run this country. It's our money. And we get a choice to where our money's spent. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I joined the military at 16.
Yeah, that's a very big point. And lots of people have raised that. I mean, is that something that needs to be discussed more, do you think, Bill? If you join the military at 16, should that give you automatically the right to vote?
No. Generally, they prefer that you don't vote, I guess, if you're in the military. But the point is, if you're mature enough to join the military and defend this country, then you should be mature enough to make an opinion on which political persuasion that you want to go, someone who will direct the military or someone who's spending our taxes. So we should get a choice.
Well, that was the reason why it was originally dropped from 21 to 18, because the theory was if you were old enough to go to war and to try and protect our country, then you were certainly old enough to vote. Heaps of texts coming in as well was, when I was 16, says this one, I knew everything. Now I'm 60 and I wonder if I know anything.
There's another one. I don't understand the argument that 16-year-olds aren't mature enough. There's plenty of 21-year-olds that are pretty darn stupid, says this text. Plenty of 35-year-olds as well, many people would argue, which is my age, anonymous texter. Thanks very much for that.
Our guests with you on the Conversation Hour today, Catherine Ellis is the CEO of Youth Affairs Council Victoria, and Andrew Leap, Francesca Howe, and Yan Mo is with you as well. Do you think it would make a difference if, okay, let's say it happens, it goes ahead and it's not compulsory, but if you volunteer to vote, you can. Is it actually going to make a difference to our political landscape, to the decisions that are made? Do you think, will politicians listen?
I think, as I said before, it would only be about 3% of the voting population. So in terms of being able to swing an election, I don't think it will. But what it will do is make sure that politicians are thinking about what their policies and what their positions mean for young people. And at the moment, they have no incentive to do that at all. And you see that where policies are being, as you said before, sort of swung towards in favour of the older population. And so I think that if you can have politicians really starting to think, okay, what are young people going to be thinking about this? What are young people going to be thinking as they go to the ballot box? It will mean that young people's considerations and the considerations of policy that's going to last for a very long time are going to be more seriously considered.
What kind of policies or considerations are we talking about here? What do you think would change as far as the offering from major political parties if the vote was lowered?
Well, I think if we're talking local government, which is what this amendment is about, we're going to be looking at things like waste management. We're going to be looking at things like community facilities that are being built. We would probably be considering what's going on in terms of energy policy in the local council. So there's a lot of ways that what is being decided at local government level actually influences how our society operates. And for young people to have a say in that, in a way that is considering their much longer term future than someone like me has, I think is really important.
Craig's called in from Ballarat. And Craig, I think this is sort of, we've come full circle here. And maybe your question is actually what we're really asking. What did you want to say?
That's me, Rochelle.
Yeah, mate, it is. Welcome to the Conversation Hour.
I'm on hands free. Hi, look, I'd just like to say, just in relation to Jonathan, one of your previous callers has been mentioned a couple of times. I know he said he's not a climate denier or a climate sceptic, but he doesn't trust bureaucratic scientists. I'm wondering where he gets his knee surgery done when he wants.
Is that really why you're ringing,
Craig? Bureaucratic surgeon at that point. But anyway, look, I went to the climate strikes. I think many 16-year-olds are engaged and should be voting, definitely. They're literate, you know. I look at some of my relatives in their 20s, their 50s, their 70s. You know, they shouldn't be voting on my behalf, definitely. You know, they share something on Facebook that somebody else has shared and they're just not engaged.
But is that more because they're not, their views aren't aligning with yours, Craig? We hear a lot of people going, oh, there's a lot of stupid people out there. But is it that mainly because they're not agreeing with you rather than whether they should have the right to vote or not?
I don't think so. I'm happy to listen to other views as long as they're educated on it. Like, I mean, we just had Donald Trump re-elected. The educational outcomes in the Western world are appalling. You've got pensioners in Australia waiting for their franking credit refunds. They don't own shares. You know, like it's...
And just out of interest, Craig, I don't ask this very often, but how old are you?
52, almost.
Really?
Yes. Look, I wasn't politically engaged when I was
16. No, I was expecting you to say you're a lot younger. No, but so you went to the climate march, you're 52. Do you think that changing and lowering, or the interest in lowering the age to vote, is it purely about the environment, or is it more than that, do you think?
I think it's more than that, Rochelle. Predominantly, look, climate change is the biggest issue we're facing. But you look at politics in Australia, like the recent ABC population poll, 90% of respondents was, I think it was 50 or 60,000, 90% don't trust politicians to tell the
truth.
That's
from the Australia Talk survey, yep.
Yeah, they will lie if it means they'll stay in power. So, you know, where has the voting got us so far? I think bring on the 16-year-olds, you know.
Good on you, Craig. Great to hear from you as well. When you talk to your friends, when you talk to cousins, to relatives, is it generally split, do you think? I mean, where are people sitting? Which side of the fence at the moment?
Personally for me, in terms of the friends and the people that I talk to, it's all across the spectrum. I think that's it's a little bit of a myth to say that younger people are progressive, left-leaning, all that sort of kind of thing. I know some friends who are on the other side of the spectrum, and to say that this will all just bring votes to Labor and the Greens, I just think that's a bit unfair.
So something that was mentioned from the start was that the topic was not properly discussed in the curriculum because we're lacking materials and resources to talk about politics properly. And, you know, so this is a topic that us from Vic SRC are very passionate about, and we actually have an agenda, Politics 101, that was brought up during Congress. So just a little backstory of Congress. Congress was a three-day a camp, sort of a congregation of students where they discussed the issues that are facing schools. And so this was a topic that was brought up by students, by I think over 200 students. And so we can definitely see that there is a wide range of people who are definitely interested in the subject, but are not handed the resources to properly learn and be educated about the subject. So I think it's an interesting topic to talk about, but also we have to keep in mind that we don't really have resources that are being allocated in order to teach us young people the topic.
And if you had the vote, what would you be voting for? Mo, Francesca, Andrew, is there an issue or something that you want done, particularly local council we're talking about here? Do you want something built around the corner? What would you vote for?
I think there should definitely be more of a action towards climate change and towards teaching more about it and not just the idea of it in schools. But I also think if people don't believe that we're mature enough to write our beliefs and votes on a ballot paper, why should they be able to hear them on the radio?
And isn't it interesting too when we look at the influence and the impact that someone like Greta Thunberg has had, just been nominated for a Nobel Prize, and yet if she lived in Australia, she wouldn't have the right to vote. But what do you think, Mo?
It's interesting then again because, I mean, Greta Thunberg is 16, which is, you know, what most of us are. And it's really impressive to see that someone our age has the influence to talk, to discuss issues like this on the world stage, even going against world politicians, which is very inspiring to all 16-year-olds. And I think it's people like these, people like Greta, that inspires us to take a step in the right direction and, you know, change the world for a better place. And, you know, starting from this, lowering the voting age would help benefit us.
And just finally, before we hit the news, what would you be voting for?
Me personally, whilst there are quite a few things that I would look at, it's more about holistically looking at what each candidate offers, what their pros and cons are, rather than just one or two issues. But I think the local environment, and in terms of what council can affect the local environment, is quite important to look at, as well as the local infrastructure, keeping up with the ageing population, keeping up with the demands of their community, are quite important to look at.
There's a few things to get done, really, yeah. Isn't there? We could have had this conversation for a lot longer. Thank you so much for joining us. Andrew Ellis, the CEO of Youth Affairs Council in Victoria, and to Andrew Leap, 16-year-old student, the school captain. Oh, I just demoted you there. You're not the vice captain, you're the school captain.
Just gave me my brother's name.
At South Oakley College, Francesca Howe as well from Ballarat Grammar, and Y Yan Mo, who is a Year 12 student from Cheltenham College. Thank you so much for joining us on the Conversation Hour.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Visit the ABC Radio Melbourne website for our pick of the best local interviews, the latest local news, feature articles and videos, and your 7-day weather forecast. Because Melbourne is what we do. abc.net.au/Melbourne.